In this episode, I am talking to Lauren Stratford from the Seriously Sorted podcast. Lauren recently launched her show, and I wanted to have a chat to her about her launch process and also about the systems and processes she has in place for her podcast. Welcome to Podcasting Tips and Tricks with Lyndall Harris, a show sharing quick, actionable tips, tricks, and advice to help you on your podcasting journey. Welcome back to another episode of Podcasting Tips and Tricks. It's great to have you back for another week. And if this is your first time listening, a big welcome to you too. I'm your host, Lyndall Harris, and this podcast is brought to you by Podcast VA, where we make the podcasting journey easier by offering a variety of done-for-you support services. So in today's episode, I'm talking to Lauren Stratford from Seriously Sorted. Lauren is a productivity coach and systems designer who helps overwhelmed creative solopreneurs maximize their impact by providing practical advice and solutions on how to beat the business overwhelm and manage their time better. Lauren is passionate about helping clients design their business systems and structures to suit their life. The reason I wanted to chat to Lauren is because she recently launched her show, The Seriously Sorted Podcast, and I want to have a chat to her about how systems and structures can help podcasters in streamlining their processes and to tap into some of the ways Lauren has set up her podcasting process to help remove the overwhelm of publishing weekly episodes. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you very much.
So I'd love to start by asking you to tell us a little bit about your podcast, why you decided to launch a show, and a little bit about your business.
Sure. So the Seriously Sorted podcast is, I guess it's an extension of my actual coaching and consulting business, Seriously Sorted. So that business, in that business, I help like super creative entrepreneurial women get sorted with their systems and processes, work on their time management and accountability and their client journey. And I decided to start the podcast because, let's face it, my topic is a little dry. And I thought, look, if I can get in more people's ears than I might be able to get eyeballs on a blog post, I'm winning. So that was sort of the bit of the catalyst to start it. It was sort of because, yeah, I hoped maybe people might listen to it while they're jogging or in the car more so than they might read about some of these topics in a blog post. That was my initial theory. And so it's an extension of the biz. So it's short solo episodes, tips and tricks on how to streamline your business and get a bit more organized, as well as longer interview episodes where I might be talking to someone either about their actual business subject matter, or I might actually be talking to them about something to do with their behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. A little bit like we're going to today. So perfect. And I love that you inject a little bit more personality, don't you, when you're in people's ears and you can give it tone instead of reading it on a, as you say, reading it on a screen.
I'd like to think so, hopefully. Yes, my enthusiasm for the subject comes through a little bit more in voice than it does in text, although I'd still have show notes if you want to read them. But yes, hopefully that comes through in the podcast.
It does. It does. And congratulations on your launch, because you had a very successful launch strategy as well.
I launched, so I think it was, and that was something that I wasn't even thinking about, like, because my whole theory around, you know, hopefully more people will listen than read, I was mostly focused on how many listens I might get. That was sort of the metric that I looked at initially. And then the day after we launched, I was on Chartable, I think, and I was looking, and at that stage, I think I was at number 7, and I was like, what? What? No, this can't be right. I need to like go into your Facebook group and just check with people that this is a reputable source. Is this correct? Like a podcast on systems and processes? And the first person was like, yes, that's correct. And I'm like, so can I technically say I've like launched at number 7? Like, yes, go out and say that. And I was like, oh my goodness, like this is like a crazy little thing that I didn't even think about. So it was really nice to sort of be in that top 10 somewhere that first week. Yeah, that was like amazing. And I think it helped that I definitely had sort of three episodes as per your suggestion. And I just kept talking about it. Like usually with, you know, advertising business things, I might put it out there once and then forget about it for the week, but I talked about it all week and I tagged people that had helped me and they kindly shared it. And I think that really, really helped as well. So yeah, it was amazing. Not something I had really thought about. I just thought I'd sort of launch quietly and I'd exist. But yeah, it was like quite exciting.
I love that. I love that. And you did market it very well. And the fact that you did like keep that going with the marketing as well when you saw the numbers and then you brought that into your marketing and promotion. So that was really awesome. And so you launched your show as well to build your brand awareness and your brand,
yes,
your expertise and your authority. Have you seen any benefits to your business at this stage? Because I know it's only fairly new. So I just thought I would ask.
Yeah, that. I did. I had about, I think it was like 15 or 16 inquiries in that first week.
Wow.
Which, you know, launching during pandemic when literally had like zero inquiries for the previous couple of weeks, which was fine and understandable. It was such an influx that I actually wasn't really prepared for it, which is kind of hilarious given what I do for a living. Like people were, you know, booking in on my Acuity scheduler and all that kind of, you know, good organized stuff, but I didn't have any like limits set up to only a couple of calls a day and whatever else. So I was a bit crazy that first sort of 2 weeks, like in a really exciting way. And some of those people, I should say, like they were people that I'd potentially been nurturing for a little while and did already know. So it wasn't necessarily cold people off the podcast. There were a couple. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that the podcast definitely helped with authority with those people as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I had exactly the same thing where they'd come into my sphere, but I hadn't known them. They weren't necessarily cold leads. But then when I launched my podcast, it was the same thing. There was quite a spike in, a very noticeable spike in leads. So, oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. So thanks. I'm going to move now into say, like,
yes,
with what you do with your clients, what challenges do you find that people have when it comes to the organisation of things?
I think in general, there's just so much to do. And I've spoken about this on my podcast and other people's podcasts, particularly when I talk sort of solopreneurs in particular. We wear all the hats. We are the general manager of every department in our business. We're the GM of marketing and we're the GM of operations. We are the CEO. We're the chief financial officer, all those things. And it's really hard to know which things to hold space for and prioritize, I guess. So I think, like, and if we talk about it in regards to starting a podcast, I suppose, like it just seems like this enormous project. It's not just this one task that you can tick off, start a podcast. So I think that the challenge is just breaking it down into something really, really manageable step by step, and then deciding, like, you know, breaking down not just what the tasks are in whatever you're doing, not just podcasts, but how long does that take? And if there's a client involved or a podcast guest involved, like, how long should we be leaving for someone to review something or to consider something? Like, how long does the journey really take? That's how I help my clients in my biz. It's just break it down step by step, make it way, way easier, and maybe not think about the whole project, just start with something. So if it's podcasting, it's, you know, just start with recording your intro and outro and then, you know, beyond that, start thinking about the episodes, for example.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a great piece of advice because I know for me, I probably would mistime everything if I don't sit down and really calculate it properly. So I think things always take, you know, always quicker than they are, always. So knowing that how long things take is a really good start to getting things organized. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your podcast workflow? How have you set that up?
Sure. So I guess if we talk just from an actual episode recording point of view, not launching and all that kind of stuff, but just like week to week, and I am still new. So admittedly, I haven't got to the point where ideally I want to be about 3 or 4 episodes ahead, whether that's still recording once a week, but I'm recording four weeks ahead, or whether once a month I just batch 4 episodes, for example. I think that will be key moving forward, because life gets in the way, as we know. And I think it would be really easy to get into the position where you're stressing that an episode is, you know, due to go out tomorrow and things like that. But at the same time, people forgive those kind of things. Like, people don't necessarily know that you, you know, release an episode on a Tuesday and whatnot. They just listen once a week, and usually you've got one out once a week.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So in terms of my workflow, I'd simply break it up into sort of four stages. So I've got my episode prep, my recording, my editing, and my publishing. Mm-hmm. Episode prep, if there's a guest, obviously that involves inviting that guest and nurturing them through how to book a recording session and actually having that session. And also, either way, drafting some episode notes and show notes. Mm-hmm. And then essentially recording the episode is simply recording the episode. Really easy if it's just you. You just kind of start. Or if it's with a guest, obviously you need to make sure you've organized the time to do that. And I guess recording also includes like doing your transcript and things like that. So, or into editing. So editing for me, I'll usually put the sort of bookend, the intro and outro to the episode, get a transcript done of the episode for my show notes, and then I go through all the fun stuff of putting it through the leveler and sending it off to my host. And then I suppose about with regards to publishing, I do show notes. People do show notes in lots of different ways. Some people don't have them at all, which is completely fine. Some people have a full transcript. Some people just have a link to listen. I chose to do transcript because it's a business podcast. Mm-hmm. So I want sort of that SEO element to it, as well as obviously acknowledge people that can't necessarily listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. I have a link to listen to the show. I have a little bio on the guest if there's a guest. And then I have sort of maybe four key points of what I cover. Mm-hmm. And then any links that I might have referenced in the podcast. Schedule that to go live when the podcast goes live, and then create any sort of domino effect things from that content. So any downloads that might be applicable, the audiograms that you might put on Instagram, images and things like that for all your socials. And, of course, an EDM for your email list. Mm-hmm. And just sort of schedule that all to go live, and then hopefully on the day, sometimes I even forget, oh, yes, it's podcast day, because hopefully if I've done it right, I've actually scheduled it all and I don't actually have to like press much on the actual day. Yes. So
yep.
That is it in a nutshell. But I would say keep it really simple. Prep your episode, record it, edit and publish. It doesn't have to be this enormous production line. And if you're starting out, just focus on those steps and break it down like that. That is what I would suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think using tools like Asana or Trello or project management tools, even just a checklist, like it could be an Excel or just a document of knowing those steps every time you do an episode, so you don't have to think and remember like, oh, that's right, I need to create two graphics and I need to do this and I need to do that. Like, just outline them in your project management tool or in a checklist.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing.
So I use ClickUp. Mm-hmm. And I have a template that I pull down for each episode. The other thing I would suggest is pull down the template for maybe 5 or 6 episodes in advance, so that you can sort of also see them in your schedule and your workload of, okay, well, you know, episode 10 needs to come out on this date and episode 9 needs to come out on this date. And so backtracking, I need to have finished those episodes, you know, ideally a week in advance, for example. So, and trying and making sure that you can fit it in around your other work, because obviously it's a huge consistent commitment in addition to your life. And it's not as I think sometimes people underestimate that potentially. So I pull down a few episodes, even if I haven't got them thought out yet, of what I like actually want the subject to be. Like episode 10 and 11 I don't have topics for yet, but I know when they're supposed to go live and therefore when I need to have started that content.
And so
I've got all that on a timeline so that it is part of my routine and my week. And if I have, you know, if you need a guest for an episode, then you really need to have had them invited and confirmed by X date or X week if that podcast is episode 10 and it goes out on this date. So I think not necessarily planning in advance in terms of subject matter, but definitely plan just the episode numbers as such, let's say, at least a few, like maybe even 2 months of in advance, just plotting out those dates so that you know when you really have to have done them by.
I love that advice. I'm going to take that advice on because I I have the template as well, you know, for and I do them in Asana. I use Asana, but I don't think to put them in until I'm ready to start working on them. So that's when I create them. But I love that advice where you put it in and then you know, even though you know it's there, it's actually in your coming into your timeline and your workflow of all the other things. So that's something I'll definitely be taking on. Thank you for that. And again, another thing I'd like to touch on there with the guest process and inviting guests and finding the time and what have you, because you mentioned that you use Acuity and you get them to book in that way. And I'm assuming that you have a potentially like a templated email or a form that people fill out when they're coming on. And I think that's a really good way to book your guests in, is to have that booking, which I do, but actually now I'm thinking about it, I don't think we used it because we were chatting and we booked the time manually, which is
that doesn't count. That's fine.
Yeah, isn't that funny? now I'm saying it. But yeah, having that that process really can save so much time. I when I hear people going backwards and forwards with emails and then having to email to find, to, you know, to get the headshot and the bio, and they're doing that every time they have a guest on, that's a lot of work. So having that system set up in up front is a really good way to streamline that process in itself.
Yeah. So I was a guest on a podcast before I ever had my own podcast, which I think was a really good lesson for how to nurture a guest, not because it was a bad experience being a guest on people's podcasts. It's just because I'm a details person, and to just kind of get an email or a DM to go, hey, do you want to be on the podcast? Cool. Let's do it on this date. Locked it in. I'm like, oh my God, like, do I need a special microphone? Do I need to have like be in a soundproof booth? What are you going to ask me? Oh my gosh, I need to put together a bio. How do I do? Like, so many things that just purely because I'd never done it before and I was super nervous and I didn't know what to expect. I think that I just really wanted to have a really calm, streamlined process for guests. And I don't have a show where I have a guest every single week. And I'm sure that people that have a guest every single week have really got, I've probably got really streamlined processes. But I did notice that, you know, again, I'm an analyzer and a researcher, and in the different like courses that I took or checklists that I bought or YouTubes that I watched, the guest piece was kind of overlooked. Like, everyone focuses on the tech, on the software, on the process to edit. And often the piece with the guest is, here's a templated email of how to invite a guest. And that is sort of it. And I wanted something better than that, I guess. Purely from my own experience as someone that was really nervous and didn't know what to expect. And everyone will get this experience, even if I know, like, when you eventually come on my podcast, Lyndall, I know that you know what to do, but you will get nurtured in the same way.
Yes.
So for me, what I wanted was, so I actually built a landing page for my podcast guests. I send them a personalized email and I will say, hi, this is who I am. Hopefully it's usually someone for now that I do know. Look, this is a topic that I'd really like your, I'd love you to be a guest to talk about. Here are a few questions that I'd really like to cover. I think it is really great if you have a few questions up front to talk to them about, that you let them know, so that they sort of know what they're getting into. Yeah. And then I'll say, look, no pressure, have a think about it. Here's, you know, please visit my dedicated page to get more information on the podcast and to book in a session. If you want to talk to me further first, no worries. Otherwise, you know, here's all the information you need. So I built a landing page that essentially is talking to the guest. So yes, it has information about the Seriously Sorted podcast, but more so from the operational perspective of who I am looking to target and what their pain points are, how the episodes run. I've got solo episodes, I've got guest episodes, and a little bit more about what I'd be looking for from you as a guest. I've got then the link in there to book the recording session. So that takes you to my Acuity Scheduler page, which has, you know, you select your time, you put in your basic info, you put in your bio and pick there. So you actually kind of can't book without doing that. So I don't have to go back and forth, which is really good. And also a link just to view my podcast guest release, and they tick that they've seen that, and then we're all booked in. Back on the landing page, I've then got like what you'll expect on the day. Please bring headphones, have a quiet space. Think of this as just a chat between friends. Just try and really have them understand what to expect on the day. And then I have what will happen when it will go live. So I'll let you know with lots of advance notice that this is the day I'm intending to release the episode, and that I will email you with some of the collateral, so images and story templates for Facebook and Instagram. And then also a link to say, if you've never listened to the podcast, here's where you can listen to it. So that's sort of the page. And I would totally encourage people to think about doing something like that, because I think it just really nurtures the guest, particularly if they've never done a podcast episode before. And I'll build on that page over time, I suppose, when people bring new frequently asked questions to me and whatnot.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the other thing I do is I make sure that with my availability and Acuity, I've got times, I have decided to put a couple of times like outside of business hours available to my guests to make sure that I'm getting them at the most convenient time for them. So I've made sure that, I've got times sort of later in the evening or earlier in the morning if that's when they're available to do it, because life happens and, you know, they're essentially kind of doing you a favor. I would definitely suggest considering your availability to a guest as well.
I love that too, that you put some of those times that might be a little bit different. That's a really nice way to think of the guest, as they are doing you a favor quite often, aren't they? So it's nice for them to be able to choose a time that suits them. And I love that process. And I have actually seen your landing page. Are you happy for us to share your landing page in the show notes?
Yeah. Well, we can put it in the links in the show notes for sure. Yeah.
Great.
Just don't book an episode with me. I haven't invited you.
That's true. But it's a different process to how I do it. And it's a different process. Yeah. And I love your page. And when I looked at it, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. Because I usually book people in first. And then when we book people in, I send them my Dubsado form.
Yeah.
And that all happens. Actually, the link for the booking goes from Dubsado. It gets booked in, the form, the headshot, the release is ticked, everything happens then. And it's not until after that that I would send a personalized email that says, you know, some of the questions and some of the things that we're going to discuss. And in that form that goes out automatically, it has the headphones and the microphone, a quiet room and what have you. But I love that you are giving them more information up front too, where it says, you know, this is what the podcast is about. We have solo episodes, we have interview shows, and if you haven't listened, then go and have a listen, because you want your guests to at least have listened to maybe one episode and get a vibe of what it's about. So it is a really well set up page. And when I saw it, I thought it'd be really great to have you on the show to talk about different ways that you've set things up and how I do it from my perspective and how it might be able to help others. So we will put a link to that page in the show notes. Something I just wanted to touch on as well is when we started working together, well, we helped you launch your show. Obviously, you self-manage the show now. But one of the first steps that you did was book into one of our strategy sessions at the beginning of the launch process. And I know that you loved the session with Michaela. Michaela works on the team.
I did.
She's an amazing digital marketing consultant. And I just wanted to ask you to give us a little bit of an insight as to why you booked into that session, what you got out of it.
So I would say I'm not a super creative person, and starting things from scratch is really difficult for me. So, and of course, once I've got a routine, I'm fine. Hence, like, the episodes are easy in terms of to produce and stuff now.
Yeah.
But I guess sometimes you get in your own head around, oh gosh, what can I talk about this week? And so it's just really amazing to have someone who loves talking about one, podcast, and two, just content, to get different ideas on topics, but also to sort of bring you back down to earth a little bit, actually, around the types of things that will interest listeners. I get very in my own head about, oh, it has to be, and that's where I got to with the whole short, sharp solo episodes. Your episodes don't have to be consistently 60 minutes, 45 minutes. Like, podcasts don't have to be long. And in fact, the shorter they are, I find at the moment, like, the more they'll be consumed. And so she kind of brought me back down to earth in terms of, like, the things that you know are things other people don't know, but you don't realize that they don't know them because you assume everybody knows them. I don't know if that came out right.
No, I hope so. It did. And I totally understand. And so that.
You've got to, like, it was just really great to talk to someone about, well, hang on, that's something that other people don't know, Lauren. Just because you automatically do this and that, and obviously we're talking sort of big, like, organizing and processes and things, like, don't other people just book this like this or do this like this? And I think, oh, okay, that, oh my gosh, that's an episode. Thank you, Michaela. So it was just fresh eyes was great, and just someone to really deconstruct some of those things that I was all up in my head about and getting more complicated. And I will definitely reach out to Michaela again for just a refresher, like, okay, I'm up to episode X and I'm just a little bit stale for content. Of course, go out and ask your audience and everything. But she was just a really great person to bounce ideas off and get ideas from, and I could literally talk about her all day long. So highly recommend getting a strategy session in. Mm. And, yeah, I will go back and do that every so often, I think, just to get fresh perspective, because you can totally get up in your head about it. At the same time, now that I've started the podcast, actually started, I would say that I'm definitely more in the mindset when I talk to somebody about, ooh, that could be an episode. Before it was just like, oh, okay, that's someone's problem or pain point. And then I'm like, well, hang on, Lauren, that pain point is now, that is episode, that's an episode. So I'm definitely more in that mindset. But yeah, sometimes if you've got a subject matter that you're giving advice on or whatever, you can get all up in your own head, I think, about what people need or assume that people do know this when actually they don't know this and things like that. So yeah, it was great. Loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. And it's funny because Michaela's on my team. We work together, but we have been business besties for years, and she, I get that from Michaela too. So we will brainstorm stuff. We will just sit and we'll be talking and we'll be, you know, having a friendly conversation, nothing to do with business. And so often we'll get into this business brainstorming session quite by accident. And it's, yeah, you could, like, I could talk to her all day as well. She's fantastic. So look, at the end of every interview, I ask my guests a couple of questions. So we're heading sort of into that wrap up stage now. So I'd love to know. First question is, what do you wish you had known when you started podcasting?
Oh, goodness. I don't know if I'm that far in enough to tell you, but I think definitely that you don't need a huge, or like, I was really worried the whole umming and ahhing around, do I start it or not? Oh, I don't really have a huge following on social, for example. But yeah, definitely the launch, and it's obviously in hindsight, the launch went really well. And you don't need an enormous following already to start a podcast at all.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And what would be your best tip about podcasting?
I think that would be, if you know that you have some weak spots around or pieces that are holding you back from starting. So for me, it was, I don't really want to faff about with, like, I want to make sure that it gets loaded onto all the podcatchers properly. And I know that I will waste so much time creating the intro and the outro because I'm a perfectionist, which I used to wear as a badge, and now I know that that's not necessarily the case. Like, it's a big time waster. That's why I engaged you, because I knew that if I tried to launch it myself, it wouldn't happen, because I would stuff about trying to perfect everything, or there were pieces that I wasn't even sure how to do, like doing just the jingle, you know, and the voiceover together and things like that. And I just wanted to focus on sort of the recording of the actual episode and just get those first few up and running. So I would say, if you know that you are a little worried about particular pieces, to talk to someone like you around how you might be able to support them through that, whether it's doing the launch, whether it's, you know, producing their first season of their podcast until they're ready to like think about how to learn to edit and upload it all themselves. I know, and I've said this to you before, like, I know you often would market to people who aren't sure about the tech or don't have the time, but I was this third category. I am a tech nerd and I do have the time, but I was this third category of procrastinator. Yeah. And or just sort of overanalyzer and perfectionist. And I just thought, if I get you to do it, it's going to happen. And when you said you'd uploaded it to iTunes, I was like, Oh no, it's okay, right. It's happening. It's happening now. So yeah, I would have a think about what are the bits that are holding you back. And if it is something to do with the actual production of the podcast, obviously there's other like little fears around, oh, people going to like me and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, if it is something to do with the tech or just, yeah, the logistics of podcasting, just outsource that stuff until you're ready to take that bit on, because everyone's unique and everyone needs like their voice to be heard, and the sooner you get it out there, the better. So,
Yes, I agree. And of course, I am a little bit biased to the outsourcing thing, but what I mean is I agree. I actually talk to a lot of clients and they like that sort of hand-holding and step-by-step and accountability through the launch process.
Yes.
To know that they will launch, because I've spoken to a lot of people over the last few years that have taken a long time to get their show out there. And you're right, that yours is a slightly different category. But, yeah, there are people who are stuck in the perfectionism. I'm a bit of a perfectionist as well, and I agree. It's for me, it's like, oh. So, yeah, I've had a lot of people say that it's just having somebody to step them through and almost like, oh, gosh, my three episodes are live now and, oh, okay, I'm launched and I need to keep going. So that is fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today, Lauren. Can you?
No worries. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Can you share with our listeners where's the best place that they can get in contact with you and a little bit about your services?
Yeah. So come visit me at seriouslysorted.com.au, and that's where you'll find me and my biz services. So I help people with their workflows and their time management and their project planning and all that fun systems and processes stuff, or DM me at seriouslysorted on Facebook or Insta. And of course, listen to the Seriously Sorted podcast on your favorite podcatcher.
I was going to say, you've got to go over and listen to the podcast, because I like it. I love it. I just love the organization and the systems and the processes. So yeah, make sure you head over and check out Lauren's website or go and listen to her podcast. But thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Lyndall.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe in your podcatcher so you don't miss an episode. And whilst you're there, I'd love it if you'd leave me a rating and review to help other podcasters.